Luke chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who is now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of God, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let us go to Bethlehem. Let us see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. And that is what we are here to celebrate. Welcome to Hoboken Grace on Christmas Eve. As we come together in celebration of Christmas, there's just so much to celebrate. And so much that's been happening, even over the past couple weeks, as far as what God's doing and all the different ways that he's allowed us to be able to celebrate him. I was really excited this morning because of this entirely new way of celebrating God. And all morning, I've been wanting to play this thing, and they've told me I couldn't. But I figured this is the last service. I might as well get it in while I can. But it's just awesome, all the different creative ways and all that God's doing through that to be able to bring people to himself. And last week we saw the baptisms, all the different baptisms that we saw in that video that have taken place over the course of this last year. It's just phenomenal. And as we walk into the next couple days, we're going to be celebrating him in all sorts of different ways and all sorts of different places. Are you guys ready for Christmas? Yeah, you're lying. You're lying. And I saw it. With your hands, you were celebrating. Your eyes were saying, "No, no, no, it's already here. There's so many other things to do." And this is the truth of Christmas, right? Christmas is chaotic. And there is so much to do and so many different places to be. And yet, ironically, when God comes to us on that Christmas morning, the word that he uses to capture the heart of Christmas, the first words, the first message that he sends with Christmas is this message that we hear from the angels. "Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." The ironic thing is that for us, Christmas is chaotic and we're moving and going and going. But God's first message when Jesus was born, when he sent his angels, the thing that he wanted them to communicate more than anything else, the thing that Christmas was about more than anything else, was peace. Not many of us would describe Christmas using the word peace. Some of you are thinking about the family gathering tonight, and the last thing that you will experience there is peace. And I know that there is a lot to do And I know that over the next couple days, there are going to be places that you have to go. And I know that right now, the to-do list is still running through your head. But I want to invite you for just a moment, if you would, to put all that aside and to just be present with me for the next little while here. Because I think that there's something really powerful that God has for us in these first words that he brings us on that Christmas morning so long ago. I think that there's something really powerful that God has for us in this message of peace. The very first thing, the thing that for him captured Christmas more than anything else, was peace. Let me ask you something. Are you at peace? I think for most of us, peace is so foreign. It's so far from our experience that we don't even really know what it would feel like to know peace again. And God comes and says, listen, this is what Jesus is about. This is what I'm doing with Jesus. I'm bringing peace. Now, when we first hear that, we typically look in the wrong direction, which is often the case when God comes to us with a message about what it is that he's doing. And when God comes to us and says, listen, this is what I want to do, we typically look in the wrong direction because we typically look to our circumstances. We typically look to the physical. Another example of this is when Jesus, when he's launching his public ministry, he says, I'm here to set you free. He says, I'm here for freedom. And everyone that heard him thought about their physical situation. And so all of them thought, oh, he's here to free us from the Roman Empire. He's here to free our nation. He's here. They all thought physical, but the truth is that Jesus was far more concerned with what was happening spiritually. He's like, no. The physical is not the biggest problem. The problem is what's happening over here spiritually. We almost always look the wrong direction. And even when he comes and says, listen, I'm here to bring peace, we think about circumstances, we think about relationships, we think about what's happening out here. But God understands peace differently. And as he's coming to us with this message, I think it's important for us to understand that. In James, it's talking about peace. And James, for those of you who don't know, was the brother of Jesus. And for most of his life, James didn't necessarily believe in Jesus, but after Jesus rose from the dead, he absolutely believed that Jesus was who he said that he was, and he began to follow him. And James actually writes to the churches after Jesus has gone back to be with the Father, and he's trying to help them understand what Jesus was about and what Jesus was doing. And as he's writing to them, he talks to them about peace, and he says this. He says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness, which is really interesting. We're going to come back to that in just a second. He says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, and so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it from them. And as he's writing to the church, he's breaking down the problem with peace, and then also he's introducing them to a new way of looking at peace. He says, you guys, you're living with all this conflict. He's living with all this conflict, and God wants to be able to resolve that, but it's not resolved by fixing what's happening out here. It's resolved by fixing what's happening in here. He says, the reason why there's all of this is because of what's happening in here. And it's interesting, we typically think that peace is the result of righteousness. So righteousness, when you hear someone talking about righteousness, it's doing good or doing the right thing. And we typically think, okay, peace is the result of doing the right thing. But he says, no. Those who plant the seeds of peace reap righteousness. In other words, he's saying, peace doesn't start by doing the right thing. The right thing happens when you have peace. He says, no. It starts in here. And when you have peace in here, it changes what happens out here. And God's doing this in our lives all the time, where he steps into our lives and we're like, "Why? You need to change the circumstance." And he said, "It doesn't matter if I change the circumstance, because what's causing the circumstance is the problem." And there's no peace in here. And as a result, there's no peace out here. And God steps into our lives and he says, "I've come to bring peace." Which is mind-blowing. Even as I've been walking through this morning, it's been amazing me. It continues to overwhelm me. Because God could have come with an army. God could have shown up and demanded that he be worshipped. He could have shown up and demanded that he receive all that was his, all the honor that was his, all the glory that was his. But instead, he shows up. And his first words to us are this: "Peace. Peace." The one who'd been so deeply injured shows up and says, "Peace. I'm here to bring peace." And it starts in here. And to God, this is a really, really big deal. I don't think we even come close to comprehending how big this is to God, and how much God recognizes that what's happening out here is a result of what's happening in here, and how much God is working and striving for us to know peace. As I began to study this, it amazed me, because I just kept finding it over and over and over and over again. God is talking about peace. I just want to demonstrate it to you for just a second. And just call your attention to just how important it is to him, how big a deal it is to him. Not just the fact that the first words on Christmas were about peace, but then as you work through the New Testament, which is all of the letters that are written to the church after Christmas morning, all of the scripture that's written after Christmas, I just want to walk you through those different books, because as you walk through those books, only two of them don't talk about peace. Every other book talks about peace. Every other one. I'm going to start at Romans. Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Christ Jesus our Lord has done for us." 1 Corinthians, the book that immediately follows it: "May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace." 2 Corinthians: "Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words: be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace." Galatians chapter 5: "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace." Ephesians: "He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who are far away from him, and peace to the Jews who are near." That whole passage is about peace. Philippians: "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand." Colossians: "And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." 1 Thessalonians: "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way." 2 Thessalonians: "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times in every situation." 1 Timothy: "I'm writing to you, Timothy, my true son in the faith. May the God and the Father of Jesus Christ, our Lord, give you grace, mercy, and peace." 2 Timothy: "Run from everything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace." Titus: "I'm writing to Titus, my true son in the faith that we share. May God, the Father of Christ Jesus, our Savior, give you grace and peace." We understand how big a deal grace is almost every time it's listed next to what? Peace. Over and over again. Philemon, Hebrews chapter 12: "Work at living in peace with everyone." James: "But the wisdom from above," the one that we just read, "is also peace-loving." 1 Peter: "Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace." And it goes on and on and on, all the way to Revelation. Peace, 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 peace. Maybe, just maybe, it's a bigger deal than we thought. And God steps in on Christmas and he says, I'm here to bring peace. I'm here to bring peace. And the amazing thing about it, oftentimes when we talk about these things that God says, I want to bring this into your life, when we talk about what God wants to do in our lives, oftentimes in that situation, I talk to you about the things that need to happen in order for that to happen. And so I talk about, okay, if that's going to happen, then we need to do this, or we need to, you know, we need to practice this. But that's not how it is with peace. This is the incredible part. The incredible part is that God comes and he doesn't say, okay, I want you to work for peace. He comes and says, I'm going to give you peace with me. And you don't have to do anything to get it. I'm just going to give it to you. And Jesus goes to that cross. Jesus goes to that cross because, as we talked about last week, he wants you to be his. And he wants for you, for the rest of your eternity, to know peace with him. To know perfect peace with him. And he takes care of anything and everything that would stand in the way of that peace. He takes care of anything and everything that would keep you from knowing that peace. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter the mistakes that you've made. Jesus gave his life. He came for you on that Christmas morning. He gave his life and he rose from the dead so that you could be his and so that you could be at complete peace with God. You don't earn it. It's given to you. And if you've stepped into a relationship with Jesus, you have it. You have it. It's not a matter of doing something to get it. It's a matter of experiencing it, of awakening to it. This past month in my life has been kind of interesting because there's someone, we don't really even know who, who's creating fake profiles online to slander me and to criticize me and make things up about me and kind of declared war on me. And as we're walking through this, it's been very tricky. It's been very obviously difficult and painful. And if you've ever been in the midst of conflict, which all of us have in some way, shape, or form, you know what happens. You begin to have all these conversations in your head that will never happen in real life. Some of you have been having those conversations all morning because the family member that you are going to see tonight, you don't want to see tonight. And so all morning, you've been having conversations in your head of what you're going to say when you see them. And it's kind of like one of those choose-your-own-adventure books. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? How many of you read the choose-your-own-adventure books when you were a kid? Just a few of you. The rest of you should pick one up. They're great. You get to the end of the chapter and you choose what you want to happen next and then you go to a chapter based on that. And that's kind of how that conversation goes in your head because you're processing, well, if they say this, then I'm going to say this. And if they say this, then I'm going to say this. And you're mapping out this whole chart in your head and you're never going to say any of it. For the last month, I've found myself doing that time after time after time. When you find yourself in situations like that, in circumstances like that, it's amazing, isn't it, how it can completely rob you of peace. And all of a sudden, all of the peace is ripped out of your life. And a couple of weeks ago, as I was preparing for Sunday, I was trying to think through the conversation, and my mind kept going back to having those conversations in my head. And I was wrestling through it, and God stepped in and he began to work on me about this idea of peace. Because I was involved in this conversation saying, God, how am I supposed to respond to this? How am I supposed to process this? And God began to ask me, Chris, where is it that you find your peace? Is your peace found in the circumstances around you? You see, most of us, our peace is based on what's happening out here. It's based on the circumstances around us, which is why we have no peace. It's a miserable way to live. Because no matter how hard you try, you're never going to be at perfect peace with everyone. And some of you live your lives trying very, very, very hard. But it's not going to happen. If your peace is based on what's happening at work, or your peace is based on how things are going with your kids, or your peace is based on, especially if your peace is based on how things are going with your kids, your life's going to be miserable. If your peace is based on the relationships that you have with your friends, and God began to ask me, Chris, what is your peace based on? And he began to call me back to a practice that I used to do all the time when I first became a pastor. Back then, it was because I felt that there were all these different things that I needed to accomplish, and I felt like I always needed to do more and more and more and more and more and more and more, and so it was hard to get my brain to shut off at the end of the night. And so I began to just practice this very simple thing where at the end of the day, I would go to God and I'd ask him a really simple question. God, are we okay? Are we okay? And over the course of the last month, God's been calling me back to that over and over and over again, just to come to him in those moments where those conversations start off, or those moments where I'm struggling with what's happening, and just to come back to him and say, God, are we okay? It's a question of peace. Are we okay? And to allow him to speak his peace into my life. You see, there's something amazing that happens when you know that you're at peace with the one who set the world into motion. There's this old hymn. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I've found the same thing is true when it comes to peace. That when you turn your eyes to the peace that you have with God, the conflicts of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that is available to you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the mistakes that you've made. But the interesting thing, and I don't think it's a mistake that grace and peace are right beside each other time after time after time after time, is that in order for you to know that peace, you have to trust his grace. You see, some of you, you hear that question, God, are we okay? And you're terrified to ask God that question because you don't trust his grace. You don't understand all of what Jesus did for you on that cross. And I guarantee you this, If you go to God and you ask that question, God, are we okay? Your mind is going to flood with all of the mistakes you've made this week. I guarantee it. It will happen almost every time. Not just the mistakes that you made this week, but the awful thing you said to the person who cut you off this morning as you were driving here, or as you were walking here, the car that almost hit you. And there's going to be something inside of you that says, no, you're not okay. And in that moment, you will have to choose whether you will believe the lies of the one who would accuse you, or whether you will believe Jesus about his grace. You see, the scriptures say that our enemy is our greatest accuser, that he's constantly coming to us with all of our mistakes and our brokenness. But Jesus is our constant advocate. And as the accuser brings before the Father all of our shortcomings, Jesus is the one who stands up and says, no, I paid for that. Look at what they just did. Yeah, I paid for that. There's no way you can have peace with them. Look at what they, I paid for that. No, I took that. I took that. My prayer for you this morning as we walk into Christmas is that you would trust the grace of Jesus and know the peace that Christmas has brought to every one of us. If you're here and you've never stepped into that relationship, it's a peace that he has made available to you that you can take hold of today. If you have stepped into that relationship, it's yours. You just have to experience it. And that's exactly what I want to give you the chance to do this morning. In just a moment, the band's going to come back on stage. And as they do, I'm going to give you a chance to be able to go before God and to ask that question. To go before God and to ask him, God, are we okay? And to allow his peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that is greater than anything that we have ever known, to fill your hearts and lives. I'm going to start us off in prayer, and then I'm just going to give you a chance to be able to, just silently where you are, bring that to him and allow him today to speak peace into your life. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray for every single person in this room, every person who's listening or watching on live stream, Father, I pray that this morning they would awaken to what it is that you proclaimed that Christmas morning, that they would awaken to the reality that you have made peace. I invite you now just to keep your head bowed and to ask him, are we okay? Trust his grace. Trust his grace with the things that the accuser is saying disqualify you. Are we okay? Father, I pray that today as we come before you with this question, Father, I pray that your peace would overwhelm us. Father, I pray that as we move into the chaos of the next couple days and to all the circumstances and situations around us. Father, I pray that we would come back to this over and over and over again so that we might know and that we might bring to the world around us the peace that you have made possible. In Jesus' name, amen.